listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I am Karen Hubbard, your host, and I'm here with two of my co-hosts. We've got Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Amen. Good morning. And our brother Sean, I believe he had to work today, so he won't be here with us, which is just fine because the Lord always arranges things the way that he wants to.
Amen. We'll miss you, Sean.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen. So that song, I woke up with that song this morning, and I guess I needed to hear it, and there's probably a lot of other people that needed to hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's really about not giving up. It's about really surrendering all that we are, not just a part of us, but all of us. And, you know, we've been talking about that on many other programs, about the surrender, the intimacy, and putting Jesus first. And, you know, even as we see the day approaching, you know, we have to encourage one another and help Amen. Each other along, you know, because the days are evil and there's a lot going on and the enemy is hard at work. And I think I had said last week on the program, I just have this sense of the this fabric. The fabric is being ripped apart. And to me, the fabric is what we used to hold on to, maybe the old wineskin. But the old wineskin is worn out. It's dried out. It's served its purpose. And it's it has to be removed to make room for what is new. You know, God renews us day by day. So there's many ways that you can look at that with the fabric even of your own life. And you know that we're going from glory to glory. And things never stay the same. You know, we want to keep things the same, you know, because we become comfortable in different places in our lives. But the Lord is always trying to move us on. And in order to move us, we have to let go of the old and to just keep pressing forward. You know, in Hebrews 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So he's telling us to strip off every weight. You know, all of us have different things that hinder us and bother us and hold us back and hold us down. But, you know, Jesus, think of Jesus. You know, he came to strip all of that stuff away from us. And it's so simple that it's so hard for us to really receive it sometimes. We feel like we have to jump through hoops to, you know, get rid of old things. And, you know, but he's done the work for us. Yes. And that we, as we continue to surrender to the Lord, he is faithful to bring us into the place. Mm-hmm. Like Sean always says, he'll bring us to the place that we can't bring ourselves. Mm-hmm. We cannot bring ourselves into our purpose. We can't bring ourselves into anything. It is the Lord himself at work in us who is bringing us to that place. So we can let go and stop trying to control our own lives and do what we want. I'm talking to myself.
Yes.
Always talk to myself first. And, you know, we just want to press on and, you know, keep moving forward in spite of how hard it gets. It seems, you know, the older I get, it seems a little more difficult with a lot of things in life. And you would think that it would become easier, you know, because we grow in wisdom and, you know, we learn from our mistakes, but it becomes more difficult, and we have to just rely on the Lord more. And that's really what it's all about. It's more than this right now, that we surrender to him and give our lives over to him as much as we can and as much as he wants, so that he can do what he wants to do in us. Ooh. I mean, do you ever sit around and think about that?
Yes.
You know, because a lot of times I'm like, well, Lord, what do you really want to do in my life? You know, because we have our own perception of what God wants to do in us. Mm-hmm. You know, we have little inklings of things. But do we really know what he sees in us when he looks at us? It's like we have it backwards. We're always trying to figure out what he wants rather than allowing him to do the work and to bring us forward.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, it's just putting on our garment of praise, mm-hmm. and the oil of joy, and staying in his presence. If we are living and dwelling in that place, he is with us, mm-hmm. and we can't take a wrong turn. No matter what opposition, no matter what season, circumstance, or situation we're in, as I opened my Bible this morning when I sit down, Psalm 107, I'll read some of it later, but it's just staying so close.
Yes.
Just staying in unity, in oneness, so close to the Lord, hearing his voice, that we don't have to worry or fear about anything. Anything. You know, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Why this? Why that? You know what? He's already been to every minute that we breathe. Mm-hmm. He knows it all. And all we need is him first. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Nanette, a couple of weeks ago, this may not have anything to do with it, but it just popped in my mind. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about the in-between place.
Yes.
So did I not see this morning a guy, I guess, I don't know if he's a musician or whatever. I think he said he's not a musician, nor is he a singer. But he said, I've had in me like a song or a heart cry, and it's about being in the middle place, and you know, and that's where you've already left from the season that closed, but you're not into the new season yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we seem to be there a lot, you know, in our lives. And, you know, I can attest to that myself. Mm-hmm. But this morning, the scripture, you know, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that just kind of popped in my spirit. And this was before I saw that guy's post. And, you know, we think of that as, oh, well, you know, you can't think wrong. And, mm-hmm. you know, just, but it's when you're double-minded, it's you're fighting because you're trying to do it your own way. But the Lord's over here, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, get you to surrender and to submit.
Yeah.
And so that's at the in-between place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we always give up. You know, we just like throw up our hands and throw in the towel and say, forget it. I'm just going to wait till this is over and then I'll do something. But
it's so true. And as you're talking, I'm hearing this is a good old, it's an oldie. For me, it's an oldie. But it's that song where it says, water that's turned into wine, mm-hmm. out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Yes, yes.
None like you, right? And I'm all out of tune or any of all that. But water you turn into wine. There's something you said, Karen, just moving into that new wine, right? And immediately that song came into my spirit because it's like, who was the first to turn water into wine? From purification jars, you know, jars mm-hmm. of clay, right? And it was his first miracle. It was the first wedding that he was invited to. And, you know, to think that at that moment, Mary, who for me, I'm looking at it now is just a symbol right now. It's maybe the intercessors. Maybe it's just a child of God that is feeling that hastening of time, that acceleration. You know what I mean? The I put down here, urged with speed. That's what it means, urged with speed. The fact that she told, basically, she put Jesus in the spot. You know what I mean? She just said, they have no wine. You know, and this is in John 2. They have no wine. You know, the mother of Jesus said to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come, you know, and this is a New American Standard. And all his mother did was turn her head to the servants and said, whatever he says to do, do it. He's turning that purification water into wine. They really have very few words between them, but she turns her head and tells the servant, do whatever he is going to ask you to do. Just like with us, he's turning our head to us and he's saying, do what I'm asking you to do.
Yes.
But yet Mary, you know, hastened the time. It was not time yet. So for some reason, he allowed it. And he moved with that. And they received the best wine ever. You know, the headmaster, right? I don't know his title. I'm just saying headmaster of the wedding had said, wait a minute. Usually the best wine is used in the beginning and it runs out. It's never used in the end. And I don't know what that means right now. I'm just sharing, and maybe it's speaking to one of our hearers or even speaking to the ladies beside me. But the best wine in the end, and that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to keep our eyes on him. And be partakers of that and be able to taste and see and guys, you know, in James 4, it says, James 4, 7, it says, submit therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near, even what Deanna was saying, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a guarantee. You could take that to the bank. Cleanse your hands. Here's that purification, right? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Karen being reminded of, you can't be in those middle places anymore. You know, cleanse our hearts, clean our hands. He's giving us such a precious, he's been giving us precious years already. We've been speaking about this. But yet, there's this hastening of time. Mm-hmm. So, are we ready so we can partake in the new wine?
Amen. And as you're talking, I'm hearing your latter shall be greater than your former.
Mm-hmm.
And for many, God's speaking to you. You thought it was too late. And you thought you missed your window of opportunity. And you think you're too far away from what you dreamed about, what was spoken or prophesied over you, what you desired in your heart, your dreams and your visions. It's not true. It is not true. But we must come into agreement. That is the most critical thing right now. We must be in agreement with the word of God, in agreement with the kingdom of God. And there was one prophetic post this morning. It said, the words of our mouth are huge right now, regardless of what battle. Yes, regardless of what battle we are facing. She said, I heard the Lord say, hold
your words tightly so as not to give any agreement to the enemy during the fight. We must give no access. And again, that's the double-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. Like the double-minded. We can't have a double tongue, a split-forked right. tongue, speaking, oh, I'm full of faith and I'm a woman of faith and I believe. And then over here, your words are coming into agreement with the enemy mm-hmm. and with the lies and with the world. Mm-hmm. And no, it's got to be black or white, blessing or cursing. It has to be 100%. Where are you? Where are we?
Amen. Amen. Again, we don't plan what we're going to talk about.
Ever.
But, you know, God, he's faithful. He's faithful to get his point across.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll just open up with that, with the, you know, careful of your words, careful of who you're in agreement with. Humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And give everything to God in this season. You know, I've been talking about the May 17th prayer, or the event that's going to be taking place. And so I get today and next week will be the last. We'll be talking about that from this side of it. You know, we'll talk about it after it happens. But I believe that us individually and as a nation, that God is really speaking. He's speaking, and we've got to listen, and we have to, as Nanette said, do what he's telling us to do individually. And, you know, when I think a lot of believers, you know, we get saved and then we spend our whole lives just working on ourselves, and we're oblivious to things that are happening around us. And as I've always said before, that unless you have a vested interest in something, you're not even going to give it a second thought. Like me, I could care less about how an air conditioner works until it breaks down, you know, and then I'm all about reading about it and, you know, should we call the repairman and, you know, things of that nature. But unless you have a vested interest, you're not going to pay attention to a matter. So anybody that's alive today watching the news or listening to anything that's going on anywhere, I mean, there's like some serious chaos going on. And the enemy, it's like we're being exposed to things that, you know, we wouldn't have seen 10 years ago. I'm surprised at some of the commercials for products that pop up when you're watching a YouTube video. A product maybe having to do with women and their cycles, and how graphic. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody needs to see that. Who needs to see that?
No, it's very promiscuous.
And then there's the, not to be gross, but, you know, on the other side, you know, with having to do with the toilet. It's gross. It's just, and I'm like, why is this even a commercial? Mm-mm. You know, who approved this? Why do we, anyway? So I'm just saying that we're being assaulted visually with things that we shouldn't be looking at. Now they're posting videos online of live murders or live shootings. You know, we weren't looking at that before. But because of the social media, so the enemy's like making sure that everybody's going to look and see, and but I believe God is using that to expose the enemy's plans, so that what's going to happen, people are going to have to make a decision to not look at those things. They're going to have to decide, I'm going to take my kids off of social media. I'm going to, you know, take myself off of social media. But anyway, just the enemy is hard at work because the days are short and the Lord's return, you know, feels more imminent than before.
Yes.
And we have to live as if he's coming today.
Amen.
And I think that that's what it is, that there's a quickening in the spirit, you know, that the Lord is trying to get our attention. And, you know, for this generation, maybe it's looking at terrible, horrible things to realize that the only hope is Jesus. And, you know, for us to turn our lives over to him and for God to come and, you know, awaken us. I'm just going to say this. I had saw somebody, a prominent lady on YouTube. I think she does end times. I'm not sure really what her ministry is. But someone had, the title of her video was Revival or Rapture. Hmm. So kind of piqued my interest. And it was just like a little 5-minute video. And she's saying that there is nowhere in scripture that says that there's going to be a revival before Jesus returns. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, and I'm not into end time eschatology and all that stuff. It's, you know, those who are led by the Spirit of God, those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And I consider myself to be led by the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I just was thinking about that for a little bit. Is it revival or is it rapture? So then I'm thinking about, you know, there's many different streams in the body of Christ. And the Lord has different people called to different streams. And some people think there's no apostles and prophets today. Some people think that, you know, we get saved and then we just wait for Jesus to come. But then there's others who are actively seeking, you know, what is God speaking today? You know, how is he leading? So there's like just all this stuff going on. But anyway, I used to get really flustered about those things. But now I realize that God is just saying, you know, we have got to stop judging others, you know, because so this particular lady, she called out somebody in, you know, a prominent person that's in the prophetic movement. She called him out, you know, and hit him and those people. She said, those people, you know, so completely discounting mm-hmm. that these are believers as well. Mm-hmm. And God has called them into his kingdom and he has given them a purpose mm-hmm. and a destiny. And for her to say that, you know, I'm like, those are the kind of things that need to stop. And then, you know, all the YouTube people that are calling out people for being in sin. Oh, boy, there's got to be some scriptures somewhere where why would you make a video, you know, and you're like a self-proclaimed calling somebody out for being a false prophet. I know I harped on it before. Few times, but I'm saying all that to say that God is talking about, we have to watch what we're saying mm-hmm. and watch what we're talking about. Who are we talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be about our Father's business. We Amen. Need to be focused on the thing that God wants us to do. And of course that includes me. You know, I need mm-hmm. to, you all know, do what he's asking me. And anyway, I just wanted to put that in there.
Isn't discord one of the seven sins?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's it. The enemy comes to divide mm-hmm. because a house divided will not stand. So he is trying to divide and destroy and devour God's people. Because if we're unified, we're in a greater, we have greater power, greater agreement.
Exactly. And then, so that kind of brings me to the May 17th. Rededication of the country to the Lord. And since it's 11:30, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
All right, we are back. And so yesterday was the National Day of Prayer. And I had planned on going up to the Port St. Lucie Civic Center, or what's now known as the Mid-Florida Event Center. I had planned on going up to that prayer meeting that the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance had put on, but I was not able to make it. But I was watching the National Day of Prayer people, the ones that started it or were part of it. You know, that's been going on 75 years now that they've been holding that. And so I was watching the one that they were doing in Congress, in the building. I think it was the Congress building. But in particular, when HUD Secretary Scott Turner got up there, I need to find the transcript of his short prayer talk. Man, what a man of God. And we're so fortunate to have him serving. And that's what he sees himself as, a servant. He's serving the people of America as the HUD secretary. And what a beautiful life he's had. And it was amazing. So anyway, that was my participation in the National Day of Prayer. So then I saw that President Trump had put out the presidential message on the National Day of Prayer. And I just wanted to read that because I believe God is really trying to get the attention of the church. We have a president who is willing to have people in his cabinet that are believers. He lets people, they do daily prayer in the somewhere in the White House. Whether he participates or not is irrelevant, but the fact is that there are people there, the people that work there are praying on a daily basis, and President Trump is open to having Christians there at the White House, because after all, our nation was founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and biblical principles. So he had put in this presidential message, this National Day of Prayer, we honor America's enduring tradition of prayer, faith, and trust in Almighty God. As we celebrate 250 glorious years of American independence, we pledge never to forget the countless blessings God has bestowed upon our people in our country. From the cradles of civilization in the ancient world to the Christian empires of medieval Europe and the miraculous founding of our own nation, the entire Western experience has been connected by a golden thread of devotion to God, America's faith was seen most prominently during our struggle for independence, when the Second Continental Congress declared a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer to seek God's providence and ask for his protection and blessing in their fight for freedom, virtue, and posterity. Just weeks later, armed with unshakable faith, the colonies declared their independence from Great Britain on July 4, 1776, and paved the way for freedom's ultimate victory 5 years later at Yorktown. In the years since, this proud birthright of faith moved our nation to expand the promises, the promise of independence, to the furthest reaches of our continent, preserve our union in the midst of a bloody civil war, abolish slavery, win two world wars, defeat the evil forces of aesthetic communism or atheistic communism, plant our flag on the moon, and advance truth, beauty, and goodness in our culture every single day. Today, faith in God is resurging on American shores like never before. Throughout this historic year, we rejoice in the triumph of the American spirit and in the love and grace of Almighty God. And just as our founders came together in prayer before declaring independence, thousands of Americans will gather on Sunday, May 17th, on the National Mall to rededicate the United States as one nation under God. This National Day of Prayer, we proudly recommit to our magnificent birthright of faith. I encourage all Americans to come together today in prayer, reflecting on the many blessings God has given our nation and asking for his continued protection with ceremonies, events, and programs in their houses of worship, in places of work, school, and homes. Above all, we pledge that America will always, as it is written in Psalm 96, tell his glory among the nations, and that we will never forget God's role in creating, protecting, and sustaining the freest, strongest, most prosperous, and greatest country the world has ever known. So praise God for that.
Amen.
And again, so leading up to May 17th for the rededication of this nation. And I guess when I was talking about that individual who was, you know, calling out somebody else or whatever, the false prophet things, you know, the church needs to unite on May 17th, whether you, whatever your denomination, whether you even have one, unite with the rededication of this nation to God so that we can see God move in our nation, that the blessings that he's poured out before, that he will pour out in greater measure. Mm-hmm. You know, as time goes on. And I really feel like this is a real transition time. You know, it's not just 250 years, but it's really a pivotal point in history when we look at all the things that are currently going on and things that have been taking place. It's time for another awakening. And we need God to come and intervene and set things aright in each of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when his spirit moves, a lot of people, you know, maybe a lot of people are indifferent to what's happening, whether saved or unsaved, you know, oblivious to what's going on. But when God moves, you know, as during like the Great Awakening, it was like there was something spiritually was happening, you know, that God was, you know, God has set eternity into our hearts. And when God speaks, our hearts, you know, we came from him, so we connect. So I just say that let there be another, a greater awakening. Let yes. there be a greater awakening
yes.
To really shift things and set things in the mm-hmm. right order. You know, people have been talking about a reset. That was a couple of years ago. We've been talking about that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps this is what's leading to that. It's like when the Israelites crossed over, they were in that in-between place. They had to keep walking. because they weren't going to get across until, you know, they couldn't go anywhere. They had to stay walking to get to the other side. So.
Yeah, and they had to cross over.
Yes.
It got to a point that, you know, very few were left, but those had to finally cross over. There was no ever going back. I just love that it's mentioned here on the presidential message on National Day of Prayer, Psalm 96, because, I mean, it's short, but I love it because it's a call to worship, you know, him, our Lord, as the righteous judge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they pulled it from Psalm 96, 3. It says, tell of his glory among the nations. But it's I love it because this morning I've been having this sing a new song. And then I as I was praying for people, I was asking the Lord, sing a new song over them. Sing, and may they hear it. May they hear it.
Yes.
And just be receivers of that new song that you're singing over them. And this scripture says, sing to the Lord a new song.
Praise God.
So I was like, wow. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nation, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe, look what it's saying, ascribe to the Lord, all families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established and it will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all of the trees of the harvest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Gosh.
Amen.
That's
really, really in this time, we have to know our God. We must know the Creator of everything. We must believe his truth. We must know truth. His word is truth. We must be connected to the Spirit of truth. Jesus said that I must go, that I would send the Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that will lead you into all truth. And we know that the enemy, Karen, your passion for this is commendable with this May 17th.
Yes.
And we know the enemy would want to disrupt that and come against that and take away from the celebration of our nation who that belongs to the Lord. We declare.
Rededicate.
And I haven't been on social media much at all, but this morning as I had to do something on the computer with work, and I'm seeing well-known trusted men of God, Lance Wallnau and Mike Signorelli, and they were posting that there was a private meeting. They called pastors, certain pastors, to a private meeting. No phones, no videos, no outside communications at all. And they were telling them, government officials were telling them to prepare the people for what's coming, because there's going to be exposure of aliens, UFOs, you know, those types of things. And they were talking about the Nephilim, which you, Nanette, were talking about before, what the Nephilim is. Mm-hmm. So they're saying they're going to try to bring this information out and expose the secret things, like, you know, Area 51 and all these secret things that they have going on. to discount the Word of God and the Creator and Jesus Christ by saying that, oh, well, these beings, they created Jesus and they did this and they did that. So we just need to constantly be in prayer covering this national rededication May 17th so that God will have his way through this. And he is shaking the church. He is shaking the leaders. He is pulling down and he is raising up. He is doing those transitions and transformations because he tests the heart of men and he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows those that he can trust. Because the leaders, the apostles, the prophets, they do need to lead the people into truth of what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Word of God is saying. So we don't fall into the lies and deceptions of whatever's going to come forth and be exposed in the name of Jesus. So this, like I said, this morning when I open my word real quick, I'll read just a couple excerpts of Psalm 107, which goes in line with your Psalm 96. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands. And is talking about how they wandered. Then I'm just going to read the parts that say, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth from the by the right way. And then they went astray again. And then it says, he brought them out, verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains into pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And then again, man fell away again. Then verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works. Then man fell away again. And then verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. And then again, they fall away. Then all the way down, then he blesses them and he multiplies them. So the God is so faithful. Mm-hmm. We all are sinners that fall short. We all are led astray by the wrong things in the world. But when we cry out to the Lord, and this is going to be the cry out, May 17th, as we unite and join and cry out and worship and call upon the name of the Lord, I believe he is going to come and save our nation, save his people, save the body of Christ, mm-hmm. save the true Jewish covenant hearted people, that he is going to have his way, and there's going to be a shift, and there's going to be a transition, and there's going to be the greatest awakening of all time, Karen.
Amen.
Amen.
The greatest awakening.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Lord, we just believe for that. Not like what has been done before, but what is new to set people's hearts aright with the Lord to prepare for his return. That's why I feel like maybe the major shift is that the church coming out of the old wineskin, the entire church, and the whole mindset of the church. You know, there's many that are resistant to change, and there's many that are saying, oh, no, you know, all that modern worship music, it's, you know, it's leading people away, and it's not like the old hymns, and you know what? The people coming up are going to need different strategies to fight what's coming in the earth. You know, if this continues, well, you're talking about the UFOs and that. I don't really follow any of that, but
I don't either. But when prophetic people and trusted men of God that are demon slayers that come against the evil doing the spiritual warfare, when they are speaking this, I believe them. And they were called in and they were told that things are going to start coming out and being exposed, and that the church better be ready, the pastors better be ready to lead their people, because it's going to create a lot of chaos and confusion.
And this is where all the science and technology are merging, and all that stuff that who knows where that's going. But
it's to lead people to this gray falling away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The AI.
This slow apostasy, the state of apostasy has been, little by little. But there is this big falling away that is to occur. And that might be the plan of the enemy. Because we have people that will believe everything, like the scripture says, like the lamb led to the slaughter, like it's just the blind leading the blind into those places. And yet we have knowledge.
That's right.
We have the word of God right in front of us.
Return to the word.
And the word right now is so key. I mean, I'm not saying you have to know every single thing. But if this is coming up, okay, well, Lord, you said I lack nothing.
That's right.
You said I live in a place of abundance, abundance in knowledge, abundance in, you said if I lack any wisdom, you were lavishly give me. I lack wisdom in this area.
Yes.
I need your wisdom. It's not about wrong, right, good, bad. That's surface level. I need the wisdom of God in this. So give me the wisdom because I don't want to be led astray, you know? And so, I could see that clearly being one of the tactics of the enemy to get people to believe in this false or to question again, God.
He will go to any length to try to discredit God's word and God's creation and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. The word says that those who know their God shall do great exploits.
Yes.
And I feel like this generation coming up, that these are the ones that are going to be completely sold out to the Lord, that they're already, these young ones, they're like Nanette, even because you confirmed it when you talked a few weeks ago about that. Mm-hmm. What are the concerns of the young people? They're concerned about salvation. They're concerned about who knows God and who doesn't, and I think God's put that conviction in each of their hearts and they have that desire to know him. And I always think about the parable about the workers in the vineyard, that those who are coming in at the final hour before the Lord returns, that they're going to get everything that we had to labor for many years. They're going to get it just away.
I like the sound of that.
I know.
I have no shame in the game. That's going to be a beautiful thing. Why not? Tell me
I know. And that's the whole thing. But that's why the us stick in the mud people, if I had to go through it, you have to go through it. No. But it's, but
is
these
that,
younger
is that
ones.
That military talk, Karen?
but these, because these younger people are going to need every bit of equipment, and they're just going to know by the Spirit of God that, just like in the Old Testament, when God's Spirit came upon David or came upon some of the other ones in the Old Testament, I think that the younger generation, those coming into the kingdom, they're going to have supernatural wisdom and understanding.
Yes.
And they're going to be fearless, before the Lord, because God is going to put that in them.
Amen.
And there's some that are they don't like the worship songs. They don't think they should be singing about themselves, but they need to build themselves up their most holy faith.
Mm-hmm. And we, talking about sing, we do need to sing. Karen's birthday was yesterday, and we need to sing at least and acknowledge her that it's her birthday.
Yay,
so happy
Karen.
Birthday.
Ready?
Karen.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Karen. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. That was nice.
5-7. That's a good day.
That's right.
Good day. As you were talking before, Nanette, about the new wine and turning the water into wine.
Oh, gosh. You have to go back there. I was weeping. I don't want to go.
No, I know, but I was hearing above all. Mm. I was just hearing above all. He is above all. And I was trying that with Michael W. Smith's song. I'm just going to read the first two stanzas real quick. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
I can hear him sing that.
Oh. Yes.
Above all.
Be exalted.
And that's interesting because even, you know, they filled it up to the brim. But man, we're in the hour that it's above the brim. Mm-hmm. It's overflowing.
It's overflowing.
And we decree and declare that there shall be an overflow.
Yes.
Overflow of your glory. Mm-hmm. Overflow of your spirit.
Yes.
Overflow.
Amen.
Revival. Revival in the streets.
Yes.
Both the young, the old. You know what? Even the dogs and the cats. All of it, just like what happened in Nivea, you know, like they all repented. They all came to that place of worship. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your plans, perfect plans, your perfect ways shall come forth. And we will be prepared.
Yes.
We will be prepared.
Yes.
We will be that bride waiting.
Yes, God.
For our groom.
Amen. With our lamps full of oil.
Yeah,
lamps full of
oiled up.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I don't know who keeps calling, but I can't get to the phone while we're live. So we'll have to just leave a message and we'll call you back.
Yes.
Just can't take any calls.
We do apologize. Yes. Usually if someone's here, they can take the call for us, but we can't.
Nobody's
here.
We're
not ignoring you all. We would love to pick up and be a service to you, but we can't.
So we've got 2 minutes. 2 minutes to go. And surrender to Jesus.
Yes.
Just surrender. Give him all you've got, which is pretty much nothing. You know, all we have is...
Those who lose their life will find it.
That's right.
So we can't try to keep what we want. We got to lose it so we can find all that he has.
Amen. It's a deal. Such a deal.
The great exchange.
It is.
Mm.
And if you don't know him, if you don't know Jesus, if you have never asked him to be part of your life, you know, ask him in. He created you.
Yes, yes.
But until you invite him in, you know, that you won't have that relationship with him. So we just encourage you to ask him to reveal himself to you. And that that you can start that relationship with him. So, Lord, we just thank you for the program for today, Lord. And we just pray that whatever we talked about, God, that hearts will be touched and encouraged. And, Father, that you would minister to your people and get us all on the same page, which is your page. So we thank you and we bless you. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we're out of time, and we will be back next week. God bless. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
In all